novelist and former Lonely Planet writer Jane Rawson takes us on quite the adventure.
In 2003, I had been away from home, Australia, that is, for about 5 years. And I'd spent 4 of those years in San Francisco, working for Lonely Planet, travelling around North America, Central America. It was a pretty great job, but after September 11 and George Bush's presidency and having my heart absolutely remorselessly broken by my American boyfriend, I decided it was time to get out of there. So I put on my backpack and I hit the road. And I started off in Cambodia, where my brother had been living for quite some time. So I went to spend a few months with him. And I got seriously into drinking, took up smoking, and I completely lost my sense of self-preservation at that point. I went on some very dodgy motorbike rides with some very dodgy guys into some extremely daft places. And I wandered aimlessly through a bunch of minefields. Luckily, I survived. And from there, I went on to Prague, where I'd been offered a travel writing job. So I went to Prague. I fell in with a bunch of expat English teachers, which did nothing to improve my drinking and smoking situation. I did a terrible job of accumulating data about dorm bed prices and opening hours in hotels, and learnt pretty much no Czech at all while I was there. But I did meet a really handsome young Czech man who had an awesome sense of humour, but that didn't work out either, perhaps because he quite liked wearing women's underwear. But that wasn't the only reason. And so when I was offered another job reviewing hotels in Eastern Europe by an ex-boss of mine, I thought I'd take that up instead and see how that went. It was a pretty weird job. Usually when you review hotels, you know, you don't call them, you just show up, you pretend you're looking for a few rooms for like your mom or something, you have a look around and you write down notes. But this was a job where you would call up beforehand and you'd speak to the PR manager there and they'd book you in and they'd take you around and you'd write down the colour of the towels and the art they had on the walls and what kind of toiletries and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was ridiculous and I basically wasn't getting paid for it. So at the time when I'd ring up and book in my appointment, I would say things like, oh, I could probably do like a heaps better job if I stayed overnight, maybe. So as a result of this, I was completely broke, but staying in 5-star hotels in Vienna and Budapest and Warsaw and Vilnius. So, you know, I'd go into these hotels. I would be wearing jeans that I hadn't washed for like a month that were full of holes. And I would go down to the breakfast buffet, which was usually complimentary, and eat as much as I could cram into myself and then try and fill my handbag up as well, because that would be pretty much all I would eat for the day, would be the breakfast buffet. And people would stare at me and I would stare back at them and be like, I'm a rock star, man. I'm on tour. Cool. I don't think anyone believed me at all. So anyway, the last stop on my itinerary was Moscow. And I was so excited about going to Russia. I had studied Russian art when I was living in San Francisco. I'd gone to Berkeley for a couple of semesters. And I was like obsessed with Russian literature, and I was so thrilled that I was finally going to get a chance to go to Russia. But the process of filling out the visa form was incredibly arduous. I don't know if anyone here has ever tried to apply for a visa to go to Russia. I believe it is still just as terrible now. They make it very clear that they hate you and they do not want you in their country. And as well as that, I had to fill it out in Czech. And the only word I'd learnt in Czech was pivo, which is beer. So that was completely useless to me. So I was there with my, you know, filling it out with my phrase book and trying to get in. And at the same time, for some reason, my sense of self-preservation had returned for no apparent reason. And people had been telling me, Moscow is incredibly dangerous. It is so dangerous. You shouldn't go. It's not safe. Don't go. And they'd been telling me, don't go in a taxi. Don't talk to anyone. Don't go into any bars. And like 6 months ago, that would have, I'd have heard that as, you should get a taxi to a bar and talk to everybody. But at this, by this time, it was actually starting to sink in. I don't understand why. I just come to my senses. I guess maybe the heartbreak had worn off a little and I didn't want to die quite so much. Anyway, so I got my visa with like a day to spare and set off to Moscow and landed at the airport and had this overwhelming feeling that everyone was out to get me. it was a little bit true. For example, like my coat was out to get me with my last bit of money in Prague. I had bought this totally awesome parka. It was like silver and it had a fur-lined hood. It was really puffy and I looked like a spaceman in it. And it was so cool. And the day I got to Moscow, this is late November and it's snowing, it's freezing cold, the zip broke. So it was like, it cost me like, $100 or something, and the zip broke on the first day. So I couldn't do it up. Freezing cold wind is coming in. I had to tie my scarf around the middle of it to stop myself freezing to death. And my shoes also were out to get me. I was, I was Australian. I had no experience of what it is like to have an icy footpath. So in my high-heeled boots that I thought would be cool to wear around Moscow, I was falling over every couple of minutes. I had a seriously bruised ass. Also, my job was kind of out to get me. The first hotel I rang up to make a booking, they're like, okay, here's the driving directions. I was like, I don't have a car. Like, oh, well, we're like 30 kilometers out of town, so fine. All right, so I had no money, but I had to book a taxi and go 30 kilometers out of town. So after my first day in Moscow, I was like, had enough. Going back to my ridiculous 5-star hotel, which was horrible. Like, it was hundreds of dollars a night, but hideous. It was like an Australian motel. It was terrible. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to, on my credit card, I'll shout myself a vodka martini because I'm in Russia. And how often are you in Russia? I should have a vodka martini. So I did that. I drank it. I went to bed. Next day, I go to checkout. So, I'm there in the checkout line with my scarf tied around my waist. Everyone else is like wealthy Russian mafia, basically, and I'm a total dork. And I get to the front of the line, I hand over my credit card, and the guy tells me it's declined. I'm like, could you try again? Still declined. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll go and check it out. I'll come back. I'll be back in a minute. So I went, called my bank in Australia. They're like, oh, yeah, we blocked your credit card because there was like an unexplained transaction in Moscow. It's like, martini. Awesome. All right, that's cool. They said, yeah, we'll unblock it. It's going to take about 3 days. Is that going to be a problem? It's like, awesome. I owe about $700 to a hotel in Russia that is probably run by the Russian mafia. I'm incredibly hungry. I'm so cold. My coat doesn't work. I hate all my clothes. And so I burst into tears and did what any, I'm sure, any self-respecting, independent 30-year-old woman would do, and I called my mum and cried on the phone for like half an hour until she said, I will lend you the money to pay for the hotel bill and get a ticket back to Australia. I was like, thank God. I was like, all I want is a sensible boyfriend and to be warm and to get a cat. That is all I want. I've had enough. So I spent my mum's money, came back to Australia. Day I got back, it was like 33 degrees, and I had wanted to set fire to my backpack, but it was a total fire ban, so I couldn't do that. But it was a beautiful day, and a couple of days later, I met this really nice guy, and then he became my boyfriend, and now he's my husband, and we got a cat. And I feel like in that year, I totally lost the plot. But I think that was partly because I was in the wrong story. And I'm sure there are lots of people here who are like, I would like to stay in 5-star hotels for free. That would be awesome and be a travel writer. I'm like, this should have been your story. This was not my story. I was in the wrong story. And so I feel like sometimes it's really good to lose the plot because then you can get into the plot that's the one that you're supposed to be in, which is the one I'm in.
That's Jane Rawson there, author of A Wrong Turn at the Office of Unmade Lists, telling her story at Right Around the Murray in Albury-Wodonga.